Welcome to Blessed to be a Blessing. This is session five. In this session, I'm going to look at Matthew chapter five. This is it's verse one. Says, seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, now we call this a Sermon on the Mount. This is probably one of the longest dissertations we have of Jesus himself, chapter 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew. And it is full of beautiful things. And it starts with, in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. The whole part of it in the beginning is that we're blessed. Now, we are blessed, and that's what we've been talking about. God is a God of love, and he blesses. From the very beginning, he blessed his creation. He blessed Noah. He blessed Abraham. He blesses us. And again, it's a mindset that we've got to understand that we got to quit seeing ourselves the way the enemy wants us to see us. We have to see that God loves his creation. He doesn't love everything we do. He doesn't love when we act unbecoming to him. But the reality is that, no, he loves us. And as we looked at in the last session, the blood of Jesus cleanses us, and it's the blood of Jesus that redeems us. And it's basically because of the blood of Jesus that we're so blessed. So this then changes it. You know, the truth of the matter is, most of us, when we think about blessed, we think about how am I favored and how's blessing in my life and how do people look at me and have I got favor and work and all the various things that we would call being blessed. Do I have a home, a house? Do I have money and all kinds of things? Maybe fame? But the truth is that God sees it a little different way. And we need to come in alignment with him. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus's main subject matter all the way through the Gospels was the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom is a king's domain. Jesus is talking about his rulership. And so everything is about the kingdom. In the kingdom, he blesses us and we're blessed, but we need to make sure we come in agreement with what he calls blessed and not just what we call blessed. Because again, we have a tendency to think about favor and kinds of things in the natural, worldly sense, but he's talking about spiritual things. So blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, you could say those are basically those that are humble. And again, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. But the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There is the dynamics of humility I don't think we fully understand. Humbling ourselves, remember it says, humble yourself, which means you can humble yourself. Don't ask to be humbled. You know, it says, fall on the rock instead of the rock falling on you. But we have the ability to be able to humble ourselves. And so the poor in spirit are those that recognize that, well, how needy we really are. I need you, Lord. I need a Savior. So it says that once you understand that, you're blessed. So blessed, what? When we humble ourselves. We are blessed when we take the low road. The next verse is, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Wow, what's that? Well, again, he's saying, we think we're blessed when everything's going great. He's saying, though, blessed are those who mourn. Well, when he's talking about mourning here, he's not talking about just feeling bad for yourself. He's talking about understanding the condition of people who are lost. When you understand the condition of people not connected to God, it causes you to grieve. It should. And once we get the heart, that God's after a heart, and that's what we're going to look at here in all of these, the real issue is the heart. God is not just after our action, he's after our heart. And so when we mourn or when we grieve over the condition, really, how about our own condition when we're not walking in alignment with God? But when we mourn for the world, mourn for those that are lost, mourn for those that don't know the Lord, it says we're blessed. We're blessed. Verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Again, it's not talking about weak, it's saying meek. could be the gentle and kind. Again, we don't consider that in our life. Most of the time, we're looking for the strong, the confident, you know, the leader. We want to be a leader. No, he says, blessed are you who are gentle and kind-hearted. See, again, when you think about these, what he's saying is he's giving you the attributes of a Christ-like nature, because this is what Jesus actually did for us. And he is the most blessed. But he's talking about if we're going to be Christ-like, if we're going to walk in the same blessing, we need to understand the attributes, and these are the heart issues that God is after in all of us. Verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Wow, challenge myself. Think about when you hunger and thirst. Have you ever fasted and not eaten for a while? You get hungry. If you don't drink for a while, you get really thirsty. It says those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's an attitude. Attitude that God is wanting us to pursue him. Not pursuing our own righteousness, but pursuing that place that he has already paid for us to live in. So I was made righteous, and we looked at that in the last session. Because of Jesus became sin with my sinfulness, so I could be made the righteousness of God. But he's not just talking about a positional righteousness. He's talking about practical. You know, how are you living? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do you really hunger and thirst? If you do, it says you're blessed. And so this is, again, blessing that God blessed us with. It looks a little different than sometimes what we think, but this is how we're really blessed. We're blessed, blessed, blessed. Verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Again, we're supposed to give mercy. It said that, remember, it says, given to be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, be poured into your bosom. With the same measure you use it, it'll be measured back to you. Well, part of that is forgiveness, not judging one another, and extending mercy. So again, he's saying, look, you're blessed when you are merciful, when you choose to forgive, when you choose to think about this, when you choose to be hurt, wounded, and even abused to some degree. I'm not talking about just asking for something bad to happen. But when you choose to extend mercy, when you choose to extend forgiveness, it says what will happen is you then will obtain mercy and you will obtain forgiveness and you're blessed. So again, these are the attributes of Christ. This is what he did. And so this is what he wants for each and every one of us. He wants us to have these heart condition, heart issues, so that we are really blessed. And again, not just blessed the worldly way, but blessed the God way. He's saying this is where you're blessed. The next one, verse 8, says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And God is really after the heart. When you go and read the rest of this, chapters 5, 6, and 7, it sounds like, oh my gosh, it sounds like more law. Well, God is saying, no, I'm after the heart. I'm not after just you acting a certain way, but not really it being real. He said, look, I want you to be pure in heart. I want you to love me and to move from that internal purity, not from selfish motive and self-seeking and all that kind of stuff. He said, you're blessed if you're pure in heart, for they shall see God. Wow, what a promise. So the promise again is that if we will walk in these characteristics, if we allow those to become our real internal heart issues, we're blessed. And as we are blessed, we're actually going to see God. Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. See, God put us here. Remember, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We looked at that out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are all ambassadors for Christ. Well, Christ is the Prince of Peace. So peacemaker, think about that. God is wanting us again to try to help people be at peace, not only with each other, but peace with him. So we're blessed if we're a peacemaker. I'm not, you know, think about being a peacemaker. I'm not striving for my own things. I don't get upset every time something didn't go the way I want it to go. I don't say, I feel like I was abused and I feel like I was used and all this kind of, it's all about me again. See, God is, he's all about us understanding what he did for us and understanding that. That's why we covered in the last session the issue of the blood, because when we understand how much we've been forgiven, and then we begin to take on the attributes and the character and the nature of Jesus himself, we're blessed. We are so blessed. So blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know why I believe it says this? Because, you know something, if we start acting this way, if we start laying our lives down and being meek and mild and doing all those things and extending mercy and forgiveness, you're going to be persecuted. Why? Because the world hates that. The world hated Jesus and crucified him. It's going to hate you too. But the fact is, we're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. He goes on to say, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. I'm sure you love that. Everybody loves being reviled and persecuted. No, the truth is we don't. We don't like that at all. And it's not because we're obnoxious or because we're causing people problems. I have people say, well, yeah, I'm just being persecuted because of Christ. No, you're being persecuted because you're obnoxious. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about literally because you're so Christ-like. You're so gentle and meek and mild. I'm not talking about laying your life down and being weird, but I'm talking about when you're punched, you don't react. When you're reviled against, you bless. When you begin to live like Christ did, he didn't even open his mouth. The God of creation, all things were created by him and through him and for him, and he's on the cross. You realize all he had to do was just unspeak everything that he just spoke into existence. He chose not to. He laid his life down. Said no one takes his life. He gave it. And so he's asking us to do the same thing. He's asking us to take on the very nature of Christ. And when we do, he said, there is going to be persecution. Remember in John, he said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they would have received me, they'll receive you. But because they didn't, they won't receive you either. And then verse 12 says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So again, he's talking about God has blessed us. We are blessed, 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 blessed. Now, I want to continue on in talking about the fact that how do we live this out? Well, verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now, let me just talk about salt. Salt was one of the most valuable commodities in the world at that time. It's preservative. And they needed it for everything. They used salt. And so he's saying the salt loses its flavor, loses its impact. It's worthless, thrown out. But you are the salt of the earth. So we need to recognize that taking context, if we take on the attitudes of Christ, and that's why they're called the Beatitudes, if we take on the attitudes of Christ, we are going to be blessed. And as a blessing, we're going to be salt. We're a preservative to the world around us. Now, we're going to talk about in the next session where, how do we know, where do we, where is that, where does it work out? But the reality is that the people you're around, and so you're salt. And he wants us to be that, where we are literally a preservative to the people we're around. Verse 14 says, you're the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You do not light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, it gives light to all who are in the house. So the bottom line is, he said, you're salt and you're light. You're not the light, because Jesus is the light of the world. But it means we're little lights. And so how? What? What does that look like? Well, it's not because I run my mouth all the time. It's because I act and look like Christ. It's because I need to recognize I am blessed. I'm blessed especially blessed if I begin to take on the very nature and the character of Christ and his heart character. If I begin to live that way, I'm going to be saltier and I'm going to be a better light. Now, it doesn't say shine your light. It says be a light. It says to set on a hill. You think about it, you turn the lights off and it gets really dark. But one little tiny light illuminates entire darkness. Darkness cannot overcome light. Cannot. So we got to realize, you got to get in your mind, I don't have to be something. I don't have to do something. I have to be something. I have to believe that I am blessed. I have to believe that I am a child of God, that I'm joined to Him, that I'm led by the Spirit, and that everywhere that I go, I am a blessing. That everywhere that I work, at home, church, play, no matter where it is, I'm a blessing because I'm blessed. I'm not doing something. It's not because I act a certain way. It's just because this is who I am. And then the last verse here I want to cover, verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, truth of the matter is we're created to work. So work is worship. Work is not evil. We were created, why? Because it's in work, it's when we work, we get to express the very nature of Christ. We get to express being a blessing. Can you imagine if everything that we did, we'd wake up and think, how can I be a blessing today? How can I bless those around me? How can I bless my mate? How can I bless my children? How can I bless wherever you are, wherever you're in school? How can I be a blessing to those I'm in school with? How can I be a blessing to the teacher? How can I be a blessing to the people that are driving cars? How can I be a blessing to those that I come in contact with? There are so many constantly touching other people. Can you imagine if we really begin to live, I am salt, I am light, and I'm blessed. And I'm going to let my light shine, not shine my light, not from my personality or because I'm strong or something. No, it's because I let the light of Christ shine through me. Once you let that light shine and you begin to realize that, hey, I'm going to work as unto the Lord. I'm not here. I may have a job and I want to do a good job, but I want to do everything I can to do what? To please Him. And if when I please Him, I want to be a blessing to those I'm around who He died for their life. Whether they know Him or not, Jesus went to cross and died for them. So God wants us to be a people that live really for other people. He wants us to, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, I just want to talk about this a little bit more. I believe that we take on the nature of Christ. How? By having these attitudes. Having these attitudes, when we start relating to people through being poor in spirit, being meek, being merciful, being pure in heart, when we start relating to people, what we do is we live for other people. So we're blessed to be a blessing. Wherever I work, wherever I go, if I would live that way, I'm telling you, they would begin to say, wow, there's something different about that person. And they begin to, and you can basically say, well, it's because of Jesus. And once you live that way, that nature begins to shine that light and it begins to affect people around you. Now, in 2 Corinthians, it says that we're a fragrance of God, of Christ unto God. We're a fragrance of death to some and life to others. And so not everybody is going to love that fragrance. But the reality is that this is what God has called us to do, is to live a life that looks like Christ, but the blessed life. And we're to be a blessing to other people. So I want to pray that God will help us to really understand we are salt, we are light, and we can take on the very nature of Christ. So Father, we love you and bless you. We thank you that you have told us how to live. You showed us how to live, and we thank you that, Lord, we're blessed when we come in agreement with you. So I pray for everyone that listens that, Lord, you'd help us to take on your nature and take on the attitudes so that we recognize how blessed we really are. Help us to really be salt. Help us to be light, not just shine a light, not act a certain way, but help us to so look and act like you that men would see our good works and they would glorify you. Help us to live in such a way that from being blessed so that we could be a blessing. Lord, I pray for everyone that, Lord, you'd help us. We really want to be a blessing. And I pray, Lord, right now you begin to help us to think about how can each and every one of us be a blessing to the world around us. We love you, we bless you, and we again thank you so much for your amazing love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.